This is Holy Thursday, and the Mass, the evening Mass of the Lord's Supper. The epistle for this Mass is taken from the first epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, when you meet together, it is no longer possible to eat the Lord's Supper, for at the meal, each one takes first his own supper, and one is hungry, and another drinks overmuch. Have you not houses for your eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put to shame the needy? What am I to say to you? Am I to commend you? In this I do not commend you, for I myself have received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and giving thanks, broke and said, "Take and eat. This is my body, which shall be given up for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In like manner also the cup, after he had supped, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you shall eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks the cup of the Lord unworthily will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man prove himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks unworthily, without distinguishing the body, eats and drinks judgment to himself. This is why many among you are infirm and weak, and many sleep. But if we judged ourselves, we should not thus be judged. But when we are judged, we are being chastised by the Lord, that we may not be condemned with this world." Please stand for the Gospel. The Holy Gospel for this Mass is taken from the account according to St. John, chapter 13, verses 1 to 15. Before the feast of the Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come for him to pass out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, loved them to the end. And during the supper, the devil, having already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come forth from God and was going to God, rose from the supper and laid aside his garments, and taking a towel, girded himself. Then he poured water into the basin and began to wash the feet of the disciples and to dry them with the towel with which he was girded. He gave then to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered and said to him, "What I do you know not now, but you shall know hereafter." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "If I do not wash you, you shall have no part with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed needs only to wash, and he is clean all over. And you are clean, but not all." For he knew who it was that would betray him. That's why he said, "You are not all clean." Now after he had washed their feet and put on his garments, when he had reclined again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me Master and Lord, and you say, 'Well, for so I am.' If therefore I, the Lord and Master, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash the feet of one another. For I have given you an example, that as I have done to you, so you also should do." Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. My time with you this evening here in this pulpit is limited because of circumstances, and so I cannot speak to you as I would like. However, here's what I want you to know for this Mass. I would like it if you would pay attention, remembering the sound of the bells. The bells. They are the bells of thanksgiving and joy. Joy. Because this day, as you know, is the birthday of the priesthood and the holy sacrifice of the Mass. And the institution of the Holy Eucharist, and as well, the beginning of the sacred liturgy. This is a very great Mass. It all began our Catholic life today. It is the day that marks an unbroken, unadulterated, right custom and observance right from Christ, our Lord and Savior. And as he gave it to the apostles, and from them to you and to me, and despite so many attacks and attempts to change our divine liturgy, not only in its accidents, but in its substance, what it is, what it means. Think of it from God himself, and our Lord and Savior's person. Despite so many attacks and attempts to change it because of men's evil intentions and desire for power, it is still here. It is preserved, unadulterated in the world. Not everywhere, but in many parts. In chapels like this. It is then this Mass, this liturgy, this Eucharist, this priesthood, a divine gift given to us, to you and to me, to bring our Lord and Savior on earth with all of his gifts, and ultimately to bring us to heaven. For me, this marks the 45th year that I have had the privilege of offering this birthday Mass, not given to most priests, only to the pastors and superiors of religious houses. Since my priesthood, I have had this great honor of offering this Mass. And so it is that I offer it with great joy. And, yes, great emotion. I do not know how many of these Masses I have left in my life, but this is a great hallmark, a great star, as it were, that I feel is our Lord's gift and promise to me, to bring me home to heaven. It was for me, and it is still, something of what our Lord put in the gospel that goes like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure in a field. He who finds it, hides it, and in his joy goes and sells all that he has and buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant in search of fine pearls, and when he finds a single pearl of great price, he goes and sells all that he has and buys it. And that's what, in some measure, we have done here, committed our fortunes, our possessions, our lives, for the celebrating, the offering of the Holy Mass, the true Mass, the Mass that comes right from the apostles. And so, on this night, I, for one, as the celebrant of this Mass, I renew my oath of allegiance, of loyalty, to defend and to promote, and never to abandon or compromise our Holy Mass, our liturgy, our priesthood. Above all, I swear to commit my life and my heart to all that has been bequeathed to us. And now, before I go back to the altar, I want to share with you a story. I don't recall ever sharing this with any of you, of something that happened to me many years ago. It was a story that happened, a moment, when, or I should say before, our fathers were ordained priests. They were still my students. There was a bishop somewhere in this country who liked me very much. Not all of the bishops are enemies. This bishop liked me very much. And he wanted very much to see me. And so I went to him. Took a long trip to see him. And when I did, in his private chambers, he welcomed me very warmly. And he had a proposal for me. And it was this: to sell everything we have here. Not as we have it here, it was much less than this. To sell it all, to leave everything behind, and to join him in his diocese. He wanted me close to him, more than just the companion that I was asked to be for another bishop who was making his pastoral rounds. He wanted me to be his companion. This is because one that he wanted me to stay with him, live with him. And he promised me position, rank, power, authority, and a brilliant future. And he said to me, everything will be so beautiful for you. There was only one proviso. I could keep celebrating our Mass privately in my room. Publicly, I must accept the new religion. When I refused, he then proceeded to find every means possible to persuade me. And finally, he resorted to intimidation and pressure. He told me that I was committing a grave sin every time I went to that altar. I was offending God. I was bringing upon my head divine punishment. And I was all alone listening to this. And more than that, he said to me, and you are a bad priest. And that was like a knife into my heart. You're a bad priest, he said to me. The next morning, when I was offering Mass in my hotel room, fortunately my students were behind me, those words that stung as I began my Mass. Those words were in my head, my mind. I was a bad priest. And my eyes began to well up with tears. They rolled down my cheeks. And I remember in my soul, I remember saying to our Divine Savior, I will never give this up. I will never give you up. Never. And that is why this Mass is one of great emotion to me. You see, brethren, this is not a matter of pride or power or authority or position or rings or pectoral crosses or episcopal robes. It's not a matter of anything like that. It's a matter of love. Love. And so, I am asking you, this wonderful Mass, on which we depend upon for everything, everything. Let there not be any sacrifice too great to give this up. I am asking you today to commit to love what we have without compromise, even a little bit, without compromise, to love our Divine Savior with all your heart, even to the point of pain. Deep pain. To love our Holy Mass, unadulterated, uncompromised, unshared with any false religion. Yes. To love it as the only thing worthy of love in the highest degree. To love our Mass and our liturgy. And despite our infirmities, as little or as many as they may be, none of them will be able to take away the joy that this day, this evening, this Mass will bring to you as it brings to me. And that's what I wanted you to know. Of all the other things I could tell you, that's what I wanted you to know. Remember the bells. Think of them and the joy that it expresses in our hearts and souls. May God bless you.